Good morning and welcome to Overeats Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Susan and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, April 28, 2025, and we are reading from the Big Book, continuing on in Working with Others, the second full paragraph on page 93, Your Prospect May Belong, all the way over to the top of page 94, Common to Most Denominations. Today's readers are Luann C., who will read the text, Alex A., A Vision for You, and Robin P. is our backup. Larry G. is our newcomer greeter, and Shelley E. will share announcements. The reference numbers for Sunday, April 27th special edition is 22,381. And for Monday, April 27th, the 7 a.m. Eastern, the reference number is 22,382. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Liz S. in Oregon to please read the 12 steps of OA for us. Good morning, Liz. Liz, are you there? Hey, Robin, do you have the 12 steps handy, please? Thank you.
Yes. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater currently in Houston. We admitted we were powerless over food and our life had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to other compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you, I pass.
Thank you so much, Robin P., currently in Houston. Okay. Put on your seatbelts. I will now ask Lilon P. in Germany to read the 12 traditions of OA for us. Thank you, Lilon.
Thanks, Susan. Lilon, recovering compulsive overeater in Berlin. These are the 12 traditions of OA. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, OA group I'd never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service center may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me be of service in April.
Thank you, Lilan. Our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Attendance requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. All right, so let's turn our attention to page 93 as we're going to resume on this page, the second paragraph, your prospect may belong to, and we're going to go all the way over to the top of page 94, common to most denominations. And I will now ask Luann C. in Boise, Idaho, to please join us and start reading and sharing. Thank you, Luann.
Thank you, Susan. Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday. I'm Luann C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Boise, Idaho. Your prospect may belong to a religious denomination. His religious education and training may be far superior to yours. In that case, he's going to wonder how you can add anything to what he already knows, but he'll be curious to learn why his own convictions have not worked and why yours seem to work so well. He may be an example of the truth that faith alone is insufficient. To be vital, faith must be accompanied by self-sacrifice and unselfish constructive action. Let him see that you're not there to instruct him in religion. Admit that he probably knows more about it than you do, but call to his attention the fact that however deep his faith and knowledge, he could not have applied it or he would not drink. Perhaps your story will help him see where he has failed to practice the very precepts he knows so well. We represent no particular faith or denomination. We are dealing only with general principles common to most denominations. Okay, well, so first of all, there's a lot of concepts in here, and the first one that comes to me is the fact that, you know, I've worked with different people who have different faith traditions than me, but it really didn't matter because the only important question for me is it working for you with this dilemma you're suffering? And if it's not, this book offers a process that can work hand in hand with any belief system or none. And, you know, when it comes to the spiritual, before I got here, you know, I literally was praying 2.5 hours every day. So that's spiritual, right? So that was my, I thought that was a spiritual solution, but, you know, I still couldn't get out of the food cycle. And I had a food plan from a nutritionist. And, you know, that way of practicing the spiritual principle got me 5 years in the rooms with no recovery. But I really, the sentence that really, really speaks to me now is, to be vital, faith must be accompanied by self-sacrifice and unselfish constructive action. And that throws me back to the top of page 20, and I'll paraphrase, that my very life as an ex-problem eater depends on my constant thought of others and how I may help them meet their needs. My very life as an ex-problem eater. I mean, what a miraculous phrase, you know? But my life of having, being able to talk to my husband and see him, to be able to be the mom I always wanted to be, to not be dragged over the coals of this disease of eating and binging and then recovering. And oh my God, my life of not that, of all these things depends on me helping others. That never would have occurred to me on my own. But that to me speaks of the sponsorship that we've been studying. And, you know, it's making me get out of my head and think about other people. How can I be helpful? How can I get the message across? And as I practice this daily, like for me, just the last 2 years, but it's now transforming my mind so that before, when I would get a food thought, it would be, you know, see, eat. But now when I get a food thought, or late at night when suddenly for no reason at all I'm hungry, you know, after I've had all my stuff, my thought is not to go eat. My thought is, how can I help someone? How can I be helpful around the house? Or if I'm anxious, I need to go back to my room and I need to get in contact with my higher power.
That's time, Luann.
Thank you. Okay. Well, thank you, everybody, and have a great week. All right. Bye-bye. I pass.
Thank you, Luann, and thank you for your service in the month of April. All right. If you came in halfway through, Luann was referencing page 93, the second paragraph, your prospect may belong to, and it's a long one, over to page 94, common to most denominations. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you would like to share today, please star one unmute and give me your first name, last initial, and where you are calling from this morning. Who would like to share?
Bessie O.
Fabulous. Two people spoke at once. Bessie O. In Colorado.
Stephanie L.
Hillary B. in California.
Oops. Stephanie, I've got you. And then Hillary, I have you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Deborah G.
Deborah, good morning. Thank you. These are all people who I know where they live. This is a good one.
Joan Marie, Nevada.
Joan Marie, thank you. All right, let's pause there for this first lineup. First, we're going to go to Colorado to Bessie O, then back to California for Stephanie L, Hillary B, then off to Arizona to Deborah G, and then Nevada for Joan Marie. So if everybody other than Bessie could mute their line, Bessie, please come on in and start sharing with us. Thank you so much.
Oh, good morning, Susan. Thank you so much for returning. This is Bessie O from Recovered Compulsive Overeater from Colorado. And I just love this paragraph because this really blew my mind when I came into program, and it was one of the most attractive parts of this program. So, you know, we all carry the message imperfectly, you know, and I remember one of the, you know, when I first came into program in 2013 and was attending a in-person meeting, and someone was helping me get started, and I, you know, sensed very quickly that we were coming from just very different, you know, like, I guess I would say spiritual backgrounds. You know, mine was very, very structured, something that I had grown up with my whole life, and I just assumed I didn't even want to share it with her because I just assumed that it was going to be another environment where people were going to judge, criticize, and try to, you know, get, because this is what I carried around with me. Everybody feels different. I'm a minority. Everyone's going to try to talk me out of this because, and, you know, I honestly kind of heard that in rooms sometimes, which I think is another lesson, is just how important it is not to just to be so careful with how we might negatively affect a newcomer with how we talk about religion. But at any rate, her attitude toward me was just totally embracing what I had and encouraging me with what I had. Oh, tell me what you like to read. Tell me what inspires you. Oh, do you, you know, and just sort of like encouraging me. And I just couldn't believe that. I was like, wait, you're supporting me in this. Oh my gosh. And so I think that, you know, we've just been reading so much about helping others and we listen and we learn and we get to know this person. And the other thing I wanted to point to is, you know, to jump right in and say you need to be self-sacrificing and unselfish, but how to show people through action. And that's just through our own experience, strength, and hope. And again, like I remember very early on when I was trying to put the food down and I just couldn't get from breakfast to lunch and thought, how am I going to do this? And someone said, is there someone you could help in your family? And I remember just so vividly going into one of my daughter's rooms and just doing like I just took all the clothes out of her little dresser and I folded them. And I did it like we have this, I have this group that I'm in and we say, it's not what you're doing. It's how you're doing what you're doing, you know, because I had so many things in my life that were good. It's just putting them together in constructive action, you know.
That's time, Betsy.
So, oh, okay. Well, I'll pass then. Sorry. Thanks, everyone.
Nothing to be sorry about. All good. Thank you. All right. Next, we have Stephanie L. in California. Good morning, Stephanie.
Oh, good morning, Susan. So good to hear your voice. And good morning, everybody. This is Stephanie L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. And I just want to thank the opening share. That was just such a great share on this paragraph and really inspired me to want to share my experience with this as well. You know, I grew up believing in a God. I was brought up in a specific religion. I don't know if I associate myself with that religion today because I consider myself more spiritual. But I had this God. The problem was I couldn't apply that faith to this problem for whatever reason, right? I didn't trust God. I didn't know how to connect with God, right? So I can share that experience when I work with sponsees who come saying, I believe in God. I have a great relationship with God. And I'm eating compulsively and hurting myself with food, and I can't stop. And I think that's what they're talking about here. You know, faith alone may be insufficient. To be vital, it must be accompanied by self-sacrifice and unselfish constructive action. And it takes me to Bill's story, to page 14 and 15, the bottom of the page, where it says, for if an alcoholic failed to perfect and enlarge his spiritual life through work and self-sacrifice for others, right? So, you know, this whole deal is to work these steps. Like what I've learned is this whole deal is to work these steps to connect with this power that I don't have and to grow and enlarge that spiritual connection through work and self-sacrifice for others. When I don't feel connected with the God of my understanding, if I help someone, I feel better. If I, you know, even like someone just shared in my home, if I look for ways to be of service to my daughter or my husband or my grandson or anybody, I feel better, right? And so I guess what I really just want to say is that this program really does work. And today, you know, as we study working with others, it's really about how do I put my hand out to other people to put their hand in the God of their understandings, right? That's my job as a sponsor. That's what my sponsor did for me. That's what all of you do for me. I'm so grateful to be here, and thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Lovely. Thank you so much, Stephanie L. in California. Next, we're going to stay in California, and Hillary B., would you please join us and share? Thank you.
Thank you for your service, Susan. Hillary B., compulsive overeater in, well, you just heard, California. What I was thinking, what this paragraph made me think about is my own recovery. For decades, I thought it was recovery. And I thought, because the last thing I wanted to do was put down the food. I did not. So I rationalized in so many different ways how I was different and I didn't have to. I just needed to develop spiritually. I just needed to get a stronger connection with God. And if I keep working on the spiritual, there's going to come a time where the food would fall away. I wouldn't have to eat this way anymore. And guess what? That never happened. And I just kept saying, more spiritual, more spiritual. And the whole time I was studying whatever I was studying, practicing whatever I was practicing, my arrogance told me, and I suppose my disease told me, you're doing great. You're getting so evolved. You're learning all this stuff. You have so much awareness, you know, and I really, really knew that that was my solution because I was different. I wasn't as sick as you guys, so I didn't have to do what you did. That's how I thought. I was so blind. And I sponsored other people. I thought I was doing service, but we won't talk about how I sponsored. So finally, I truly was awakened to the reality that, yes, the solution is spiritual, but it can't be just spiritual, or it has to, or the spiritual includes we live as a human being on this planet, and there's certain things we have to do. There's certain things we have to do if we have this disease, if we want to overcome it. And the first thing I have to do is put down the food or I can't see clearly. Even if I work the steps, no matter how many times I work the steps, if I'm using the food, I'm not going to get what these steps have to give me. So I have abstinence. I have 2 years. I have a spiritual life. I'm seeing things about myself that I was never able to see before. So much selfishness, so incredibly self-centered, so blind. And it's such a relief to be able to see these things. So I am able to do more service, to have more honest service, to be free. I'm not free,
fine, Hillary.
To be getting free. I'll stop on that. I'm getting free one step at a time. Thank you, Susan, so much for timing.
Thank you, Hillary B. in California. Next, we're going to go to Arizona. Good morning, Deborah G.
Deborah?
I know you're busy star wanting. Okay. All right. Let's go to Joan Marie and Deborah. I'll call on you after. Oh, you're good? Okay. Go ahead, Deborah. Thank you.
My other meeting, I pressed star 6, and I'm wondering, why am I not getting it? It's star 1 for you guys. I love it. I don't need a comedy show, just myself. And thank you, Susan, so much for your service this morning. And just love how you monitor and moderate. And welcome to all the newcomers. I'm so glad you're on the line. And thank you all for making this meeting possible and all your shares already 12-stepping me. And I was looking at a couple sentences here that I stood out for me. To be vital, faith must be accompanied by self-sacrifice and unselfish constructive action. And the other one was, we are dealing only with general principles common to most denominations. And I don't put a lot of emphasis on what they do spiritually, you know, I never question it. That seems to be what they need to do. But I also like to, you know, share that I went through the steps and got the transformation. I got a deeper connectedness. That's what I want, a deeper relationship with God, a deeper connection with God. And then, you know, being of service to other people, going from that self-centered place to that other-centered place. And just in doing the action, you know, being honest and being open-minded and willing, did I finally get that transformation? It was done to me, not by me. And really, I didn't have to have any kind of certain spiritual practice or whatever, just going through these beautiful 12 steps got me to that place of having that. So I'm just really grateful for them and all of you. And I'm so grateful to be on the line today and being abstinent and living a life. You know, I heard recently on a meeting, dying slowly in my comfort zone without ever living. And I don't want to do that. You know, I want to continue to, you know, do the work that I need to do, living these beautiful steps, helping other people.
That's time.
Okay. Thank you so much, Susan. Have a beautiful, blessed day, everyone.
And to you, Deborah G. in Arizona. All right. Joan Marie, your turn. Joan Marie in Nevada. Go ahead, please. One, Joan Marie.
Everyone's got little glitches.
Talking away, Susan.
Oh, there we are. Thank you.
Thinking I'm unmuted. Okay, Joan Marie recovered in Nevada by the grace of God. Well, thanks for Luann's share in the beginning and everyone else that shares on the line. It just opens up our mind to be able, my mind, to be able to see how it works for other people. And you know, I've had a strong faith and believed in God, and I would try every which way to get recovered except for the vision way. And today I do it the vision way, which is the big book. And you know, my faith, like I said, was strong, but it didn't deal with this issue. I could long, long time. And finally, when I went through the steps with a lovely sponsor who gave me work to do, and I did it, and I continued to work with others, and that keeps me in the herd, and I need that because I have a forgetful mind at times, you know, and it's cunning, baffling, and powerful, and it's doing push-ups, you know, it doesn't stop. So the only thing that does that for me is the conscious contact with God all through the day, all through the day. And I am just myself when I sponsor. They know, you know, what I believe, but I know that I can't push that on anybody, and I don't have that power, and I never try to do that. I just be myself with it. So I found a rock in the park a couple years ago. It says, just be yourself, and I have it in my car to remind me that I just be myself, but then allow others to be themselves. And, you know, it says there in the big book, we have entered the realm of the spirit. My dog, he's talking now. And it's our job to grow there. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Joan Marie. Okay, before I take the next roundup of names, just a reminder where we are. Age 93, second paragraph, your project may belong to, over to ending on page 94, common to most denominations. So as a reminder, we share here every third day, so that applies to both meetings, the very early one for me on Pacific Coast time or this one. So if today is your third day and you'd love to share your thoughts on this paragraph, what I need from you is your first name, last initial, and where you are calling from this morning. Excuse me. Thank you.
Wendy B.
Carol
in Arizona.
S.
Wendy B.
Esther
Arizona.
H.
Carol S.
Atlanta.
And who was after Carol?
Esther H. Atlanta.
WW California.
Okay, pause there 1 second. I heard Jeff, and then who else was with Jeff?
WW.
And Debbie, where are you calling from?
California.
Fantastic. Okay. Do we want to take one or two more? We'll see how we go on time. Anyone else like to get in with this, what will probably be our last row of sharing?
Did you get Esther?
Jordan, no.
I did, Esther, yes. And Jordan. Okay, we'll stop at Jordan. So I have Wendy B. in Arizona, Carol S., who will share with us where she's from, Esther H. in Atlanta, I believe you said. Then I've got Jeff A. in California, Debbie W. in California, and Jordan L. in Colorado. So if everybody other than Wendy could mute their line. Good morning, Wendy. Please share with us. Thank you.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And the sentence that says, call to his attention the fact that no matter how deep his faith and knowledge, he could not apply it. And it reminds me of the comment I've heard in the rooms, you know, to say, you know, how's that working for you? And it makes me sad that my husband just gets defensive whenever I make a comment about his food issues. And, you know, I can't call anything to his attention, you know. So all I can do is just practice my program to the best of my ability and try to be a good example, you know, of the blessings of being recovered. And the sentence, perhaps your story will help him see where he has failed to practice the very precepts he knows so well. And it reminds me that, you know, there's no guarantee, you know, he will ever want what I have. You know, he may just be constitutionally incapable of being honest, and, you know, and he may never become willing to do the work, you know, and, you know, and I get to just let it go and let him be and not try to push my program on him and just try to love and accept him the way he is. And it's not easy when I can see that there's a better way. And, you know, but I get to focus on, you know, those who do want what I have, you know, and I get to put my energies into, you know, my sponsees and stuff. And I am just so grateful that I don't have to live in that frustration of, you know, wanting someone to change, wanting them to, you know, do program like I do. And that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Wendy B. in Arizona. Next, we have Carol S., I believe, S. for Sam. And if, Carol, you could share with us where you're calling from this morning. Go ahead. Thank you.
Thank you. This is Cheryl S., and it is S. is Cheryl and S. and Sam, and I'm calling from Nevada. No worries. No worries at all. Thank you for getting my name in there. You know, I just wanted to share on the service part, what I was taught was, it needs to be sacrificial service. And, you know, my adult years, I have belonged to an organized religion that requires a lot of devotion to it. We raised our children in that religion, and I did service in that religion as well. But the difference, I think, is, you know, it's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be part of that religion. I wanted to do the different service opportunities. And that's the same with the meetings, too. For me, you know, if I'm going to do service on a meeting, I do it because I really want to, but there are other types of service that I don't want to do. And to me, those are the types of service that are the key to open the door for this. I have a difficult relationship with my mom, and my mom is now 89, and she is really needing a lot of help. And so I go down once, sometimes twice a week into Las Vegas and spend the day with her. And it's difficult, but it is sacrificial service. And it's just things like that. Like my sister-in-law lives next door to me, and she needs help with her phone and her computer. And it's not really something I want to do. I'd rather be here. I'd rather be riding my horse. I'd rather, you know, there's a million things I'd rather be doing, but I'm not going to do those. I'm going to go over and help her. I don't always want to pick up the phone and call newcomers, but I make myself do it. And so for me, that's kind of a guideline about the type of service that I need to do that makes the difference. And I'm not saying that the service that I want to do doesn't make a difference, because it does. But when I have to make myself do something, I know that I'm really getting down into the weeds and that I'm working my program. And, you know, it says in the big book, an alcoholic in his cups is not a very pretty thing. And that's the same thing like with sponsoring or service to somebody that's really in the food. You know, it's difficult. It's difficult. And for me, that's what my service has to look like. It has to be difficult in order for it to matter. And that's all I have. I pass.
Perfect timing. Thank you so much, Cheryl S. in Nevada. All right, next we have Esther H. in Atlanta. Good morning, Esther. Esther, star one to unmute and share, please.
Okay, sorry.
There you go. That's okay.
Okay. I wanted to share on the sense to be vital. Faith must be accompanied by self-sacrifice and unselfless constructive action. I have a medical condition in which I fall a lot, and it's to the extent that I need to be in a chair most of the time. So, like, I'm in my chair right now, and if I need to go to the bathroom or something, I have to get my husband to come and accompany me. I need to be accompanied wherever I go by someone. And it makes me, I can get pretty self-centered about that. And it's good to have the reminder that faith must be accompanied by self-sacrifice and unselfish constructive action. I need to think about that more. And thank you.
Hey, great. Thank you so much, Esther H. in Atlanta. Next, we have Jeff A. in California. Good morning, Jeff.
Hi, this is Jeff A. You know, I have a religion that matters to me. The problem was, and other people have mentioned it, but I couldn't keep that. My overeating just consumed me, and I couldn't understand why it wasn't working. I thought the church would make it work for me. And the problem is I wanted the food more than anything else. I'm in a good place now. And I had a guy 6 months ago, he called me and say, what do you do to be sober? And so I told him, and he didn't like it. And so we didn't talk anymore. And then yesterday, he called me again. I'm like, oh, hi, good to see you or hear you. And he was really listening. And so I told him how I can't do the program but through the 12 step. And I can't do it. I got to have a sponsor, and I got to have the program. And so forth. And I, you know, he was writing things down. So I just, if people call me, I pick up if I can. And that's kind of what I do. I just got to pick up, even if I don't want to. And that's how it works for me. Yeah, thanks.
Thank you so much, Jeff A. in California. Next, we have Debbie W., also in California. Thank you, Debbie.
Hi, I'm Debbie W. in California. And this paragraph really, well, I had to share it because of this paragraph. I have known God for a long time, and I came into the program 2 years ago, and all I saw were these joyful people, and I'm like, wow, what have they got? I want it. This is at the OA birthday party, my first exposure to OA. Wow, what a special thing. But I thought to myself, how come I didn't learn this in church? But the 12 steps show you how to live. It's a guide. And I needed that guide. I didn't know I needed it before, but then I found out. And now I'm so happy to be living in the solution. It's such a gift, physically, mentally, emotionally. There's nothing better than being recovered. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Debbie W. in California. Next, we have Jordan L. Thank you, Jordan. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Susan. Thanks for moderating for us this morning. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado, where it is snowing, and I'm really grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting this morning. Religious. And I haven't been for a really long time. So all of my sponsees know more about religion than I do. So I encounter this situation quite a lot, actually. and it is like I'm even curious to know why it is that religious convictions don't seem to be enough to like fit the bill in this case, if you will, right? And I think that the key might be in that to be vital, faith must be accompanied by self-sacrifice and unselfish constructive action. I talk a lot about taking action with sponsees. I would say like the majority of what it is that I talk about with sponsees is about taking action, about going to God and then taking action, going to God and then taking action. And when I say God, like I really do mean the God of my own understanding. It's a God personal to me. I have a very personal relationship with this God of my own understanding, right? And so that's what I talk about because I don't really know much about religion, right? And the other thing that I think is really important in all of this is trust. So I talk a lot about, especially in the beginning, I talk a lot about practicing principles in all my affairs. What it means to practice a principle. That is something that I feel like I have a lot of experience with. And so I talk a lot about what it means to practice principles. That's what attracted me when I came in. I was attracted to the folks that were walking the walk or walking the talk, whatever the saying is, right? It's quite easy to talk the talk. I was very attractive to the people who were living this way. And I wanted to hear more. I wanted to hear more about how it was that they were doing that. It's kind of funny. In the beginning, I think I wanted to hear more so that I could figure out how they were being hypocritical in some way. I'll finish up. And now now that has been, that's like a character defect that has been removed, right? So anyway, thanks for letting me share. That's it.
Thank you. All right. So we have time for one more share. First name I hear gets it. Who's been holding back?
Vanessa
Jan
G.
AF.
Go ahead, Vanessa. Thank you.
Hi, everybody. This is Vanessa G., recovered in New Mexico. Thank you for letting me be the last share of this great meeting. You know, all through the meeting, what I've been thinking about is God is everything. God is everything. And I have encountered people, sponsored people, who have met much different, very different experiences or religious denominations than I do, all the way from, you know, Native American or Wiccan type of belief systems to, you know, the very most strictest of Christian religion. And what I have to be very careful of is to think to myself at any given time that my my understanding of God is in any way either less than or better than theirs. What this program brings to me and what I hope to bring to other people is a God that works for my problems, for my way of life, for my addiction, my healing of my addiction. And that's what's been given to me, and that's what I have to give to others. I truly believe that the addiction that I, you know, was born with or afflicted with or developed, however it came to me, is because it is my way of helping other people come to an understanding of a higher power that will work for them. I use the word God because it's easiest, but I want my understanding to always be open to growth and to be able to become just as unlimited as it can be in my small brain. And that means that I listen to my sponsees and to other people, but I also so that I can grow, but also so that they can grow too. And hopefully that's what happens. I just have to be really careful and not to be prejudiced and to keep my own mind open so that I can be of help. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much. Perfect timing. All right, so here we are, our last Monday in April. So I want to thank this amazing team we've had with their service positions, Luann C., Alex K., Robin P., Liz S., Lilon P., Larry G., and Shelley E., and thank you for allowing me to be your moderator this month. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Let's K., will you please read a vision for you for us? Thank you so much.
Thank you, Susan. Hi, everyone. Alex K. in California, compulsive eater, given a reprieve for today. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.